My name is John Erling. Today is the fifth day of March of 2009, and you are?
Ken Greenwood.
You were born?
July 1923.
That makes you how old at this very moment?
85, going on 86.
In July.
Been a lucky guy.
Where were you born?
Brainerd, Minnesota.
I'm surprised. That's my home area up there.
I knew that. Yeah. When I was a little bitty kid, I can remember standing at a big front window, and I could scratch enough fog off the window to see out. And my dad had shoveled off the walks, and the snow was piled up so high as they did in those days, and I'd see hats go by. I was about 4 years old, and I could identify people by their hats going by. That was entertainment in those days. There was no iPod.
No. How long were you there in Brainerd?
Well, my folks separated, and I went down to Nebraska and kind of grew up with my grandmother and mother in Lincoln, Nebraska. Graduated from high school, went to the University of Nebraska, interrupted by the service, came back, graduated in 1948.
You went in the service. What did you do?
Well, I ended up installing air-to-ground communication equipment. What was the advent or the beginning of radar or blind landing equipment for airplanes? We made all the installations for the planes to land on that equipment in Hawaii, Guam, Lingayen, and finally ended up in the Philippines, and then eventually ended up in Japan and put the installation in Japan.
Hmm. Back to Nebraska then after that service.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
When I was in Nebraska, another fellow, Bill Wiseman, and I wrote the music. He wrote the book for a show. It was really a show called the Cosmic Club Show. And you'll never believe it, but our star of the show 1 year was a fellow by the name of Johnny Carson, who was a fraternity brother of mine. When we graduated, he got the scholarship to WOW in Omaha. I got the scholarship to KFOR in Lincoln. And Carson's bit up there was they had a big drive on to get rid of pigeons downtown, and he recorded pigeons cooing. And he took the part of the pigeons in the morning. Why were they being so cruel to these birds that never did anything to them? The mayor got incensed, called the manager of the station, and he fired Carson for having run this series of his tape recordings on the air. Johnny went out to Hollywood, and the rest of it is history. Befriended by Jack Benny, and that's history now.
I worked for WOW as well.
Yep.
And worked for the same program director.
Yep.
Johnny Carson worked.
Yep.
For Ray Olson.
Yeah. Small world.
Okay, so then you went to KFOR.
I went to KFOR in Lincoln, and I was the only one that had ever played baseball, so I was elected to do the play-by-play of the baseball games. I did those one summer, and then the second summer I did them, and then I came up with the idea. We had a lot of little teapots in Nebraska, as you remember. Came up with the idea if we could get them linked together, we could carry Nebraska football, which was just coming into being as a really big-time event. We put together all these little pedal-pusher-type stations and put a network together. The university gave us permission to do the Nebraska games at home, and we talked our way into being the visiting station at some of the out-of-town places. And we didn't have enough money in our budget for a color man. In those days of radio, the color guys on any kind of an event had a very deep voice, you know. We didn't have that. So I came up with the idea of maybe an ex-football player who really knew what the game was all about. We talked to a fellow by the name of Tom Novak, who had been an All-American at Nebraska, to do our color for us. And he was colorful. He'd use really down-in-the-trenches type language, and, you know, he just knocked him flat on his ass. Now, I tell you, that kind of language. The cards and the letters came in, and everybody said, you got to clean it up. And I said, why? Look at the response we're getting. That was the first state network ever in the United States that carried university sports, was that Nebraska football network. And we'd also agreed to carry the basketball game, so I did those. Was called in one December, early December, and advised that I was making too much money and I would be terminated because the station was cutting back. We were in television by that time. We were cutting everything back. And I got fired 2 weeks before Christmas. Ended up down in Kansas City went to work for WHB Radio at that time, and they had a half a channel. Their half a channel joined KMBC, Arthur B. Church channel there, to make a full channel. Eventually, WHB bought the other half channel, and so we had a full television channel to work with. I went through that stage of television. WHB approached me about going into sales work, and it paid a lot more than I was making, $600 a month in those days. So I went to work for WHB, and about a year and a half later, some local Kansas City people said, we'd like to have you put together a radio station and manage it. That was kind of a thrilling prospect, and so I found myself in management and ended up at WPEO in Peoria, Illinois, as a part owner of a little teapot radio station.
How did you jump from WHB?
I resigned from WHB. These guys had the money ready for us, and we bought WPEO in Peoria. And that became a group of four stations. We were very fortunate. We turned them around. We had WPEO turned around in 90 days. We were very fortunate. We added Albuquerque, San Diego, and Wichita. And that was the beginning of Swanson Broadcasting.
Wow, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. There's a jump here, because why Swanson Broadcasting?
It became Swanson. It was known as Swanco in those days. They had bought a station in Des Moines, Iowa, that I had looked at one time. They were very uncomfortable. They were going to go into business with Don Burden, and they got a little bit uncomfortable with that. Justifiably so. Later, he got in trouble with the FCC.
Lost his license. And I was working at that station, KOIL,
in Omaha,
when he lost his license, and I remember at midnight when the station went dark.
Yep.
But your connection to Swanco, and this is the same family, Swanson family, that did the TV dinners.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you jump on board with Swanco?
Well, the phone rang one evening. I was at home wondering what I was going to do. We still had the stations, and one of our stockholders went out to raise his garage door and dropped dead of a heart attack. And I didn't know what was going to happen to our little group. So the phone rang, and it was a broker. And he said, I think you ought to talk to a fellow by the name of George Bolus, who handled their account for them. He was with Tatham Laird in Chicago. He had bought them, and how times change, one spot, one time a week on television. And that helped that company go from small time to very big time. Before the war and during the war, they had packaged chicken for the armed services. Gilbert Bird Clark, one of the other, came up with the idea of frozen dinners. And they had that product ready to go, and George arranged the advertising for them, and everything turned to gold.
These are all Swanson.
Gilbert Swanson and Clark Swanson. Clark was the older brother. Gilbert was the younger brother. He invited me up to Omaha to meet them, get acquainted, see if they liked me and I liked them, which we did. We formed an alliance, and that became a company. Their station that they had already purchased was in Des Moines, KIOA. We put that with the rest of the Wichita, Albuquerque, San Diego stations that we had. We'd sold Peoria in the meantime. And that was the beginning of what was originally Swanco Broadcasting, which, when the two younger brothers came into the picture, Gary and Clark Jr., they changed it to Swanson Broadcasting.
So about what year is this happening?
About 1961 or thereabouts, about the time we bought KRMG.
Which was 61?
1961.
Yeah.